You are tuned to KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland. The time is just before 11 o'clock. Up next will be Health and Healthcare Forum with host Roberta Hall focusing on Cover Oregon. I'd like to make an announcement today. Congress comes back into session on today, September 9th, and is scheduled to take up President Obama's bill for the authorization to use military force against Syria. At 4 p.m. today, there will be an action to say no war in Syria. Protesters will be gathering at the Federal Building in downtown at 1220 Southwest 3rd. They will be surrounding the building, forming a human chain, and letting Congress know that they do not support the war. That's today at 4 p.m. at the Federal Building at Southwest 3rd and Madison.
Bring out your books.
Bring out your books.
KBOO's preparing for our legendary book and record sale.
We are accepting your donations of books, comics, LPs, CDs, DVDs, and VHS tapes. Your discards are another person's treasure, and all sales benefit. KBOO, bring your donations to the stations at 20 Southeast 8th between 9 a.m. and 7 p.m. weekdays.
Questions? Contact Ani by email at volunteer@kboo.org or by phone at 503-231-8032, extension 213.
If you have a larger donation,
call to arrange a pickup. The last day to donate is Tuesday, September 24th, so don't wait. Bring in those CDs, LPs, books, and DVDs right away. Thank you.
Triangle Productions and KBOO Community Radio are proud to present Kiss of a Spider Woman. The Oregon premiere of this 7-time Tony Award-winning musical will be at The Sanctuary at 1785 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. The show will run from September 5th through the 29th. More information about this KBOO-sponsored event may be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Welcome to the Health and Healthcare Forum. I'm Roberta Hall. Our series on health and healthcare features conversations about diverse health concerns. I enjoy these conversations, and I hope you do too. Cover Oregon is the name of the health insurance marketplace, or exchange, that provides an online way for uninsured Oregonians to buy health insurance that will be required in 2014. More importantly, Cover Oregon and Cover Oregon alone provides a way for individual Oregonians to apply for help in paying for it. For this reason, uninsured people need to know how it will work. On August 20, a panel talked to a standing room only crowd about this new program in the Benton County Library. The exchange is one of 91 provisions in the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, often called by the somewhat irreverent and inaccurate name Obamacare. All states were offered federal money to expand Medicaid to cover all adults earning up to 138% of the federal poverty level. Oregon and some others accepted the offer, but many states declined. Applications for Medicaid are to be made through Cover Oregon. This program features excerpts from the August 20 talk by Liz Baxter, board chair of Cover Oregon, Onofre Contreras, staff member, and Ralph Prowse, CEO of the Oregon Health Co-op. So let's hear first from longtime healthcare activist Liz Baxter, then from Onofre Contreras, and finally, Ralph Prowse. Because health co-ops are new, that topic gets the most time here. Following Dr. Prowse's comments, we'll have a short section excerpting key answers to key questions. For a full report on the session, check into the Mid-Valley Healthcare Advocates website, which is mvhca.org. Thanks to Paul Hochfeld for use of his recording of this event. Ron Green, president of Mid Valley Healthcare Advocates, is the MC.
Liz Baxter had a remarkable career in all areas of public health. She's been executive director of the grassroots organization We Can Do Better. Of course, she's the chair of the board of Cover Oregon.
I did not wake up one morning and say, I hope today Congress passes a bill that will require everybody in the country to purchase insurance from a private company. That's not the hope. It's where we ended, but that's how the political process works. I am just so encouraged by the fact that there are still people working to get us to that better place. So in Oregon, we have been studying what the role of a health insurance exchange could be probably since about 2001. We had some federal grants that were focused on how could we get more people covered in the state. So there are a lot of things about people who are uninsured. Oregon said, wonder what we could do. March 21st, 2010, House of Representatives passes the Affordable Care Act. Well, it was June of 2009 when Oregon passed legislation that said, let's move ahead with a health insurance exchange. And in 2011, the legislature passed a bill that created it as a public corporation. So it's similar to SAFE, PERS. These public corporations are created by an act of the Oregon legislature. So it's a public corporation. We have to report to the legislature. Governor heavily influences what we do. But there's only one constituency that matters, and it's the people in Oregon. So our mission. In Oregon, we have this open meetings law. And so from the very first time that this board came together, it is a public meeting. So before we ever shook hands with each other, it is a public meeting. If there are ever more than four of us in a room, it is a public meeting. So we got to craft our mission in a public meeting. And what we came up with, I want to read to you, and it's all one sentence, but I'm going to read it in four chunks because I think it kind of dictates the flavor of Oregon's approach. One, the mission is to improve the health of all Oregonians by providing coverage options, increasing access to information, and fostering quality and value in the system. The intersection that you might have might be all about purchasing insurance, but that's not our end goal. Our end goal is something much bigger than that. So the board sets the expectations. We call them the ends. We have said, here are the things that this organization has to do. So know that at the end of September, we have finished 2 years of the insurance exchange. We've had 2 years of a fully operating board. While everyone is focused on October when this thing goes live and opens its doors, we are going to be starting year three. And lastly, on January 1st of 2015, we have to be self-sustaining. So until and through December 31st of 2014, we are 100% federally funded. On January 1st of 2015, we have no more federal funds. We must be self-sustaining. The Oregon legislature, in creating this public corporation, said, go forth, but do not come and ask us for any money. So our marching order is very clear, and everything that we've been doing is to try and meet those ends. But the exchange is not the only piece of the Affordable Care Act, nor is it the only piece of Oregon's efforts at reform. Probably close to two-thirds of the provisions of the Affordable Care Act already in place. The Affordable Care Act also created opportunities for the states to create co-ops. Not every state ended up having a co-op, and Oregon is the only state to have two. And so when you hear this stuff about the exchange and Cover Oregon, I really want to impress upon you, it is a piece of a bigger picture. The bigger picture is what's important. That's what's going to get us to the goal that Oregon has of improving the health of all Oregonians, doing it at a cost we can afford, and us having a better experience while we get care.
My name is Onofre Contreras. I do the stakeholder outreach work for Cover Oregon on the board. We have, and this is really key, a consumer advisory committee, and that can go up to about 25 members, and it is small business folks. It is folks who participate in different programs, who actually act as a sounding board and an advisory committee to us. And one of the things that's very critical about Cover Oregon is that we are trying to instill a participatory process where we are open. You can get on our website and listen to all the old board meetings, consumer advisory committee meetings. When we have the initial startup on October 1st, we made a strategic decision that that first sign-up period is going to be only through what we're calling community partners and insurance agents for the first 2 weeks or thereabouts, so that the glitches that come up during those first 2 weeks, we're going to have crews there every night doing work that they need to do, and then opening it up to the general public. But remember the December 15th date. And so you still have 2 months to do what you need to do and get your documentation in order to have the coverage to starting January 1. So the policy decisions that have been made here have been very astute ones in terms of the health of Oregonians. And we hear that word, Obamacare, the Accountable Care Act, in a pejorative sense and in a supportive sense, depending who you're talking to. And on a very personal level, I don't like that term, Obamacare, when it's used from either side, because, you know, I see this as being, you know, our first attempt at healthcare reform. It's a huge step in doing that work, and it's ours. And I feel a sense of ownership, having worked with a lot of advocates. Yes, the compromise. It was the compromise. I remember the discussions on the public option that we had and the battles that we had over that. And now we're at the point of, okay, now let's make the best system that we can with what we were given. I know that the insurance exchange Cover Oregon has become synonymous with the Accountable Care Act, but there are actually 91 individual provisions in the Accountable Care Act. If you remember back in 2010, it was about children prohibited from having pre-existing conditions that denied them insurance. That was back in 2010. Children up to 26 years old could be covered on their parents' insurance. That was back in 2010. In 2014, on January 1, pre-existing conditions for adults is going to disappear. That it doesn't matter whether you purchase inside the exchange or outside the exchange, it's an industry-wide law. So there are 91 of these. There's the expansion of Medicaid to 138% of the federal poverty level. One of the 91. The insurance exchange was one of those 91.
Dr. Ralph Browse has not only been a practicing physician, but also CEO of a large medical facility, and he has been a health plan executive. He's now, of course, the CEO of Oregon's Health Co-op, organized under the ACA to offer a consumer-driven and consumer-directed not-for-profit plan for Oregon.
What I would like to do is to place co-ops in kind of the bigger context of health care reform, first of all. The Affordable Care Act was really more about health insurance transformation than it is about health care reform. Although we didn't start there, hopefully we will end there someday. But as part of health insurance reform and health care reform, the state-based health care exchanges or marketplaces like Cover Oregon were enabled, as were co-ops. CCOs are something really entirely different. I'm trying to emphasize this because people often get confused. They think Cover Oregon is a CCO, or that CCOs have something to do with Cover Oregon, or that co-ops are Cover Oregon or are CCOs. No, they're not. CCOs are coordinated care organizations that provide Medicaid services under a budget, under a capitation, if you will, to the Medicaid recipients in their geographies. That's what they are. So that's something completely separate from private individual commercial insurance. I'm here today representing a private, somewhat private, commercial insurance company, but it's an altogether different and new concept. And like Cover Oregon, we are a startup organization. Until we have a single payer system, co-ops and Oregon's Health Co-op, I believe, is your best instrument to express what you want out of healthcare. And I'm going to show you how that works tonight and how it's working right now. So that when we are up and running and we are providing insurance coverage, I hope that you will think about us. But if you don't, and you choose to stick with your regular traditional insurance carrier, I hope you'll take pride in your premium dollars being spent to brand new sports arenas and things like that, because that's what we won't be doing. So nationally, we have currently 24 funded co-ops. The intent was to have a co-op in every state. Oregon is the only state with two co-ops, so we're weird in lots of ways. You know, this is one of them. The other co-op is Health Republic Insurance Company, and Don Bonder is the executive director. And I can tell you, Don is a fine, upstanding person who's running a good shop. And if you don't choose mine, choose hers. Because again, this is as much about a movement as it is about insurance. First, I want you to know what co-op stands for. And it doesn't mean cooperative in the sense that people can own it and get dividends from it. But this actually means a consumer operating oriented plan. It's a nonprofit 501c29. It's a whole new IRS category. And the law is very specific about how the funds can be used. Any funds above and beyond those that pay medical claims or pay for administrative costs have to go either to lowering premiums, expanding benefits, providing better quality care, and, of course, paying back the federal loans that funded us. But we can't brand stadiums. We can't sponsor big fancy golf tournaments, fund exorbitant executive salaries, or any of that stuff. These are the only uses of funds. In fact, we were not even funded to do marketing and sales. So we've had to source that kind of funding privately through private loans from generous organizations. It must be governed by a member-driven board, a majority of which must be comprised of members who've purchased policies. And we are to offer commercial health insurance on and off the exchange. We currently are growing based upon two types of federal loans. We have a startup loan for about $7 million. That's funding the current build-out of our operations. We're a startup. And the current salaries of my 8 staff. We have a highly experienced board and management team in place right now. All of them have served in some formidable executive role in an insurance company or a consumer engagement activity. It's a multicultural staff with wide experience in reaching out to communities of all sorts in Oregon. My greatest worry, frankly, was I didn't know what we would do to be different. I really didn't know what Oregonians might really want to see out there. Remember, I'd come from 8 years of experience at a very traditional, very conservative health plan, and I'd learned a lot of things about Oregon and about the people of Oregon that actually turned out to be very, very wrong. And how I learned this was that I organized focus groups and listening sessions across Oregon and sat behind a one-way mirror and listened to these facilitated sessions and listen to people talk about the things that they saw as problems, listen to them talk about how they prioritized their own health, how they wanted to prioritize their spending, what they wanted to receive in terms of benefits, health care, and from whom they'd like to receive those services. And I learned a lot. I thought I knew something about health care. And again, coming from 8 years at a big health plan, what I thought I would hear out there was that, gee, you know, we're really pretty passive about our health and our health care. We're really kind of comfortable sitting on the couch with a bag of Cheetos with a remote control and letting somebody else pay for our health care when we got sick because we're not really responsible for that. That could not have been further from the truth. That could not have been further from the truth. In every single place I went, I heard people say that, you know, I'm living on a very slim budget right now. Sometimes I have to figure out, am I going to fill my prescription or am I going to pay my light bill? The problem is that I can't really figure out how to spend my hard-earned healthcare dollars when I have to because the system is way too complicated. I can't figure out what it's going to cost me through co-payments and co-insurances, what my 20% is going to be on co-insurance, what my deductible is going to be, what my maximum out-of-pocket is going to look like. I have no idea. So I'm flying by the seat of my pants and I can't be a prudent purchaser. I learned that people really cared about the types of providers they could access as well. And Oregon's got some very unique ideas about that, which I'll talk about in a moment. But they want providers that can really support their particular lifestyles, and they care deeply about that. They want a health plan that stresses wellness as much as it stresses good service on the traditional things medical and health plans are supposed to do, like pay claims timely and inform you of things. So after listening to all these sessions across the state, three salient themes really emerged from this, which I've sort of touched on. The first one that I heard in every session was make it simple. I can't understand this now. I do want to be careful. I do want to be a prudent purchaser. I understand healthcare is expensive. I want to play a role in keeping those costs down for me and for my family and my neighbors, but I can't. It's too crazy. The second thing was about balancing the emphasis between just good medical cost management, claims management, and promoting health. And the third thing was about access. Access that's easier for me. I don't want to always have to go to the doctor for trivial things. Isn't there something we could do with phones? Isn't there something we could do with email? What about Skype? And what about some of those providers right now who are considered to be just alternative care providers? What about them? So we translated this into real action. And the things that we've done here have led to us being distinguished by Cover Oregon as being an innovative plan. That's a specific distinction that we've received. First thing about making costs simple. We got rid of coinsurance, and we only have deductibles applying to just three very high-cost things. It's hospital care, and it's outpatient surgery. Things that you know are going to incur high facility costs from those organizations. All of your outpatient stuff, all your doctor services, all your outpatient radiology and lab and all that, there is no deductible that goes with that, no deductible that goes with office visits. You just have a simple copayment. It's simple. The doctors know what to collect from you, and you know what you're going to owe. And it's built in a very simple, structured way. It's $15 for a phone call or an email. It's $35 for a primary care visit, $70 for a specialist, $70 for an urgent care, a lot more for the ER because, again, it's about prudent choice. This is what we heard people wanted. So it's really, really simple. And now you can be a prudent purchaser. It takes the mystery out of it. And by the way, on the claim side, the fact that a doctor knows what to collect from you and doesn't have to chase you for the other 20% after the insurance company pays its 80%, that's the coinsurance piece, they save about $25 per claim by cutting through all that administrative waste. They collect it right then and there, and they come after the insurance company for the rest. Simple. And then on the third point about wellness and access, I want to talk about naturopaths a minute. Because this was probably the biggest surprise to me. Again, I'm an internist, and I come from a pretty traditional background. And when I hear in every single setting that people receive a particularly valuable service from naturopaths, I kind of just shook my head a bit. But because we're a co-op, and because it's our mission to take those comments seriously, I went out and I met with the Oregon Association of Naturopaths, and I met with the College of Naturopathic Medicine. I learned that in Oregon, naturopaths who complete the four-year training at the college, a curriculum that for all intents and purposes looks just like my medical school curriculum, except they get more pharmacology, are then eligible for licensure in Oregon as primary care providers. That means, with all the rights and responsibilities that a pediatrician, a family physician, an internist like myself have with respect to providing quality care, preventive care, which means immunizations and the rest, prescription privileges, injection privileges, ordering test privileges, all of that comes with that responsibility. And I had to take that seriously. And as a result, we're the first health plan in the country to license them and credential them as part of our primary care network. This is not alternative care we're talking about. If they have been through that curriculum, if they have been licensed that way, then we will credential them to be primary care. And I have about 100 of them already and more contracts flowing in right now. And I've met with them to enforce this message to them. Look, this is the first time for you guys. It's the first time for an insurance company as well. We each have a lot of skin in the game, and there's a lot here that's untested and unproven, and there are a lot of characterizations, mischaracterizations, and stereotypes that we have to deal with here. And you're going to be measured. Your quality is going to be measured just like the pediatricians, the family docs, the internists, and the rest of us. Same measures, same process, everything. It's in your best interest to really pay attention to this and not screw it up. Because if they screw it up, they screw it up for themselves, and they screw it up for me and all of us that cared so deeply about the feedback that we got. We redefined primary care, we simplified payment of care, and we expanded access to care, all because that's what Oregonians said they wanted. It's not because some actuary or lawyer sitting in an executive suite thought it was a good idea, because they don't. It's because that's what you thought was a good idea, and we simply took that and translated it into action. We will start offering health benefit programs on the exchange and off the exchange for self-employed, for nonprofits and membership organizations, for employers offering group insurance, for individuals transitioning off Medicaid, and for any of you that are interested and eligible to purchase commercial insurance on and off the exchange. So the only ones who really aren't eligible to purchase from Oregon's Health Co-op will be Medicare, Medicaid, and individuals who work for self-funded employers who manage their own insurance claims and benefits for their employees. Everybody else is eligible to purchase from the co-op. And I'm very excited to be doing this right now. It's exciting, it's a little bit risky, it's a little bit scary in some ways, but I'm tired of the old stuff and I'm really ready to try something new. I hope you are too. Thank you.
Is there a guarantee that everyone who qualifies for OHP be enrolled in it? In other words, there's no cap on the number of enrollees. Is that correct?
That is correct. The lottery will go away January 1. Right now, when you go and you apply for health insurance, you get asked very invasive personal questions about your medical history. Things that make us very squeamish because they want to know everything that ever happened to you because they're trying to figure out a way not to cover you. Well, that disappears. There is nothing that will be asked about you other than your age and do you use tobacco. Those are the only two questions that they can ask you in terms of medical history. But the switch is you're going to be asked a lot of invasive questions about your financial situation. Okay? And those are the questions that we're designing right now in terms of the applications and the system that will determine your eligibility for the tax credit. So we're trading in all that information about health history. We don't need to know anything about that for information about your financial situation if you opt for a tax credit.
So here's the challenge for Cover Oregon. We want to believe that we are going to be able to leverage rates even getting lower. But today in, what are we, August 20th of 2013, there are zero enrollees in Cover Oregon. A year from now, we're hoping that we're at like 80,000 people, you know, 100,000 people. We then have incredible ability to leverage rates. Today, we don't. So we have really had to depend on the work of the insurance division, folks who help with doing external reviews of what those rates are and how those rates have been put together, to try and put as much pressure on the rates to be low as we can. So my head has been saying all along, the first time that we're going to see leveraging of lower rates is going to be what those rates look like in January of 2016. If they're not lower by then, we're not using the power of numbers and leverage.
But take a look at what happened here, because this was a fascinating journey in what transparency and competition can do. So April 30th, all the health plans had to submit their rates, their final rates. And the following day, the Oregon Insurance Division posted them publicly. And within about an hour, a couple of health plans said, oh, wait a minute, we'd like to rebid that. We'd like to come down about 20%. You know, we want a do-over. And some of them got do-overs, frankly. Whether those were actuarially sound do-overs or not, I guess time will tell, because frankly, it was pretty much a crapshoot by everybody. And it was a crapshoot because nobody really knows what the insured population is going to look like. I mean, who's going to be in, who's going to be out, who's going to decide I'm well and I'll take the penalty and I'm not going to play, and who's going to be in, who's really sick. So what is that population really going to look like? There were several actuarial studies that were done to help us all kind of figure that out. One was done by the Society of Actuaries. Another was done by the Wakely Consulting Actuarial Group. They both came to completely different conclusions. They didn't even overlap. All right? So within that, you know, you got to take a dart, throw it at a board, and say we're good with that, and hope you are. So as it turned out, most of the carriers are within about 10% of a median point. Okay, and then there are a couple that are way off the low end, and then there were a couple that were way off the far end. You know, there were some that were up around $400 per member per month, and there are a couple that are down around 180, 170 in that range. Most of them are clustered around, you know, 220 or something like that, 230. So there's kind of a cone of credibility, or at least shared pain, perhaps, among those that are within that band, and we'll see what happens with the rest. But as Liz just said, honestly, nobody's going to really know until it shakes out in late 2015 to 2016 in terms of how those premiums really shape up compared to what those costs were. But here's one other thing I have to say as a plug for the Affordable Care Act, there actually were some smart people who worked on this stuff because they recognized from the beginning that this was exactly going to be the crapshoot. And they built in certain market stabilization programs. We call them the three R's. There's a reinsurance risk corridor and risk adjustment program, which will mitigate the risk that all the health plans are taking because nobody knows. And that allowed some to play on the exchange that might otherwise have chosen not to because the degree of damage will be limited. And in Oregon, the Oregon Insurance Division actually added a fourth level to this of risk adjustment to support this effort even further. So Oregon, again, stands out as being kind of unique.
You know, if there was something that I wanted to leave you all with, it's that even with everything you've just listened to, we are so early in the amount of work that has to be done. I don't think any of us are saying, we've got the answer, and if y'all just like climb on our wagon, we're going to solve this healthcare crisis. This is where we are this year, but we've got a lot of work to do. And I'm hoping that you all will continue to be fighting the good fight, pushing for things to get better. So thank you.
The Health and Healthcare Forum is produced by Roberta Hall and recorded with the aid of Joe Magner of Anabyte Electronics and Recording. Theme music was composed by Lori Childers and played by Lori Childers and Kent White.
You are listening to KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland. The time is 11:31. Up next, the Radio Zine host Ren Green interviews local filmmaker Andy Norris about his new documentary film, Targeting Iran. I'd also like to take this moment to remind you that at 4 p.m. today, there will be an action down at the Federal Building on 3rd and Southwest Madison, called No War in Syria. They'll be forming a human chain and letting Congress know that we do not support